3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast with your host, Stephen Martinez, a.k.a. Mega Man. This is episode 298 of the Mega Man's Life. And I'm going to be honest, I don't keep count anymore. I'm just going to put the Mega Man's Life. I know it's been a minute. I've been MIA in the podcast game. But you know what? I think the time is right to do an episode. And I have a very special guest, Cindy, but we all know her as Cali Girl Eats. I got that right now.
You did.
I did. So, Cindy, what's up? And I just want to let you know, because I know you know the Long Beach Social Experiment and also the Mega Man. So let's just get down to it, what the Mega Man's like. Because look, we're going to freestyle. Mm-hmm. We're going to say some shit. And nothing's scripted. We're just gonna do a free-for-all. We're just going to speak our minds. And if people get offended, you can skip to the next episode, but this episode will have a disclaimer. So I just want to say, first things first, I want to thank all the people who has donated to the GoFundMe. They even Zelle me Cash Apps or Venmo me, because my car was stolen on Saturday night, and It sucks. It really sucks. I mean, but we got our car back, but it was a lot of damage. And I'm going to tell you something. I was shocked because, you know, I'll just say this. You're going to find out who's going to be there for you or not. And now that we know, I was kind of surprised. Like, it's the strangers. Yeah. It's the people that we give them love. Yeah. And they give us a lot of love back, man. I'm just surprised that there was people that we know that, I'm going to tell you, it's something where people's true colors are going to come out. And when you're down and out, you're going to know for who they are. And we know those types of people. And it was very shocking to get some fucked up DMs, some really DMs from some people that we know. And we said, you know, we don't entertain that shit. What's your take?
Well, my take is this, you know, going through what you've gone through this past year has probably been one of the hardest years of your life, I would imagine. As an outsider looking in and seeing, you know, the situation with Alex, with your son, from last year into this year, you know, he's made progress, but, you know, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And, you know, Steven takes his son to his therapy appointments, his doctor's appointments, driving to school, picking him up. You know, he does all of that. And, you know, he has a little bit of help, AKA me. But the thing is that, you know, when you have your car, your vehicle, I mean, anyone in LA that owns a car knows that we are reliant on our vehicle. And to have that taken away after you work so hard paying it off and, you know, making payments towards it, we work hard for the things that we own. And so to have, you know, two female hooligans, we think they're female based on the stuff they left in the car.
Yeah.
You know, we got your cocoa butter lotion and we got your chanclas that you left in there. And, you know, you probably couldn't even reach the pedals. So you have like a little lumbar seat cushion. It's just pathetic. You know, it's embarrassing that there's these people that just want to go and joyride in your vehicle, not even understanding, you know, the ramifications that it has on the person.
And it's something where, you know, the laws are changing to make it easier to do whatever they want than realizing this whole TikTok thing, because I don't have TikTok. But when you talk about the Kia boys and all what they do to make it easier to steal a car, I mean, they were talking about Kias and Hyundais are the most easiest cars to steal.
And there's actually TikToks that you type in Kia boys and you'll see they give you a play-by-play and a quick little 20 second video on how to steal the car. And it's pathetic. You know, there's another neighbor in the area that had his Kia taken and crashed. And on the inside, you know, they were so emboldened to spray paint Kia boys and hide your car.
Yeah.
Like as if he's doing something wrong by parking his car on a city street in Long Beach. I mean, come on. So it's just really sad what you see going on. And, you know, I'm a mother, Steven's a father, we're parents, you know, and we try to raise our children right. And, you know, when you see you know, I have friends and family that are raising kids and youngsters, but, you know, you see a couple of bad apples out there, you really start to question what's going on with our youth. You know, we got to do better, people. You know, there needs to be accountability. You can't just let your kids be raised on social media, and you got to be in their lives and setting that example, leading by example.
Yeah, and we'll get to that, but I'm just glad that no one was hurt. The two individuals were arrested. I got my car back. I thought it was going to be totaled.
And he's pressing charges.
Pressing charges. I don't give a care about, oh, man, you're being a snitch. Hey, if that shit happened to you, what would you do? I mean, if I would have saw them break into my car, I don't give a care if it's a girl or a guy. I'm gonna beat the shit out of them. I'm going to give a fuck. Like, that's fucked up. Yeah. And, you know, they don't care. Like, the kids these days, they don't care about the repercussions. But, you know, when you get older, it's like, man, what can you do? But it's like this. It's like you see all the stuff's going on around. You know, people don't care. The kids don't care. Where's the fathers at? Yeah. Where's the fathers at? You know, is this something where it's like shit happens for a reason? But, you know, I put it in God's hands. You know, it's a material thing. But the thing is, you know, we talked about, yes, it's materials. But in life, you know, you only get one chance, you know, and if. You can't be a hero these days. And that's why, in a way, you know, it sucks. If I would have saw them and I beat the shit out of them,
then you'd be in jail.
I'll be in jail, yeah. Because they broke into my car and I beat them up. This is some stupid fucking laws.
Yeah. You know, the thing is at the end of the day, we're glad that nobody was hurt. We're grateful that we have our health. You know, all of the things are going to be covered through insurance. It's just a bitch that you have to come up with the money for the deductible.
It's a lot, it was a lot.
The impound fees for 3 days. You know, and you know, people are going to argue and say, like, oh, well, why did you have to do that? You know, it's like, we're right around Thanksgiving, folks. The holidays are approaching. You know, he's just gone through this life-changing, catastrophic thing with his son.
And we're going to talk about
medical
that too,
bills and, you know, ambulance bills and hospital bills have
everything,
been piling up.
So everything.
It's not like all of a sudden he just didn't have $1,000 laying around. I mean, this year has been one of the hardest years for
him.
And, you know, as an outsider looking in, seeing him go through all of this, you know, it's a lot for one person to handle, and you have your kids. So, you know, for those of you who have contributed to the GoFundMe, to Venmo, to Zelle, to
Cash Apps,
reaching out. And again, you know, a lot of it is strangers or people that just are fans of his podcast. There are some close friends, and you know who you are. And then there's people that, you know, I work with, family members of his, as of mine, that, you know, felt compelled to step in and help. And, you know, from the bottom of our hearts, we're grateful, we're thankful, we're humbled, and we let go, we let it to go to God and just said, you know, God's gonna help us through this. And you know what? He did. He really did, and we're just grateful.
I'm just so happy that, you know, people reached out, and man, I'm telling you, when you give love, you're going to get love back. If you're going to give people hate, and of course, they're going to treat you like shit. But I'm just glad that everyone, you know who you guys and ladies are, thank you so much for contributing, helping out. I'm going to do the best I can, you know. And you're right, Cindy, times were hard this year. Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way back. And look at, let's take the elephant out of the room. You know, let's go back. When my situation with my son last year had a stroke, then he had COVID. Mm-hmm. Then the COVID messed him up. Then he had catatonia.
He was in the hospital for 2 months the first time.
And again, all that.
And then in November of last year, he was in the hospital for 2 weeks, which we didn't know how long it was going to be.
We didn't know.
And we didn't know if he was going to pull through, if he was going to make it, not make it. I mean, and it's a very scary situation to be in when you see your son and your child in ICU and nurses are running around. Doctors are coming in and out. They're, you know, poking and prodding and doing what they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary situation.
Yeah, and you know, it took its toll. You know, I was more focused on the podcast, but now the podcast is kind of like, you know, to me, because
family comes first.
Family comes first. But the thing is, I will have to say this, and I think this is the first time talking about it, or second time. It was really hard to. You know, be there for my son, and I was working so hard at my job and everything was taken away from me because of a situation of, and this is the thing, guys and ladies, and this is real talk, I'm gonna mention people's names. You have to be careful of who you support and who you follow, because there's wolves, there's you know, weasels, snakes, and all. And when you support people, they're going to put you in the front and the meat grinder where, like, hey, deal with this guy. Like, I didn't do anything. And a lot of people don't know. When I got fired from my job, I got fired because of Tony A. the Wizard and his situation with Miss Pac-Man. And Miss Pac-Man made a lot of lies, you know, and got me fired from my job because they didn't want to have a lawsuit or anything. And, you know, and I remember 2 days, or I think it was on a Monday, and I went to work that Monday night and Tuesday. No, Monday, because I did a podcast with Norbit, and I knew something was off. And when I went to work the next day, they were saying, oh, Mr. Martinez, we've been trying to get a hold of you for 3 weeks from human resources for my job. I was like, really? What happened? You gotta sit down for a second. And this is when all the lies of this person was doing.
And this person lied under oath about Steven, saying that she was in the store, that she was shopping in the store, which is a blatant lie.
Because
he worked overnights. And if you know, when you work overnights, the store is closed, it's locked.
Yeah.
So this particular person, you know who you are. I hope it weighs heavy on your conscience that you put a father out of work that are taking care of two boys that have high functioning autism. And you know, I hope that one day when you meet your maker, that God asks you why you did this, because you put this man through hell and back. If I ever see you, man, you better look out.
And Tony, and you as well, man, I think you're a piece of shit. I'll say this very bluntly. I regret meeting you. I regret fucking with your team. I regret bringing a lot of people on, like, especially Norbit. We'll talk about him later. And these are the things, like, it hurts. But at the same time, I moved on. But, you know, people's true colors can come out. And it was really fucked up. And I remember when Norbit told Tony A, you heard about Steven got fired? He was like, what the fuck? And that's why he's like, hey, lay low. Don't talk to him, whatever. And this is a thing where it's like, you know, even social media can get you burned, get you fucked over. And I didn't even do anything. And I have to say this too. Fuck you, Tony. Fuck you, Wordian Radio. Fuck you, Marvelous Inc. Fuck all your old team. And especially there's one person I want to give a shout out to. So, because it's a major, like 100 times fuck you, is Bobby Garcia from Street Post Podcast. All this shit started because of that motherfucker. I was with my kids. We were watching a movie. This motherfucker calls me. Oh, hey, Steven, I got this guest. Like, who? Oh, I got Miss Pac-Man. It's like, why are you going to do that for? Why are you going to interview a person who was found guilty of defamation? The same thing would happen with Sonny from Street St. Lowe. You interviewed this fucking bitch.
Because he wanted the numbers and he wanted to sit there and poke at the bee's nest. But when the shit hit the fan and the mierdas come spraying out by the fan and all the cagadas coming at Steven, where were they? Where were they?
Nothing.
Not a single one of them.
Piece of shits.
Not a single one of
shits.
Them owned up to their
piece
their
of shits.
Role in
Nothing.
This. And you know what? That's okay, because I remember for years that Steven was very supportive of all y'all, and not no more. And you know,
I don't fuck with them.
And that's the thing. You know, it's sad because I don't know any of these people personally.
But I'll say this.
I saw you
I was
supporting
pissed.
Them.
And I want to say this, Bobby. When I told you not to bring this broad on, and you did. And all this shit happened. And look, everyone, this all happened last year to where I'm at now. It was hard for me to get a job. I even got denied everything. And Bobby's like, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you. Really? I got fired from my job because of you, you dumbass.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's it? This is the thing, people. And I know people are going to be like, why are you talking about it? I'm going to talk about it, because when you get fucked over, you got to let people know.
And people have to be accountable, because their actions cause a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like a ripple effect in the ocean, you know, or a lake. You throw something in there, you're going to see a ripple. Well, that's the thing, is that these people did this. And look at how many people's lives were affected. It wasn't just Steven's
life.
A lot
of people.
Kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
people
my
got,
life.
Yeah.
Like everybody's life
a
that
lot
was impacted by this. And it's just sad. You know, we have to do better as a human beings. We're always talking about, you know, for the raza.
Get the
you
know, fuck out of here. Well, I want to hear that
gente,
shit.
Para la cultura. Like,
I don't want to hear that
Where
shit
is
anymore.
That?
Where I don't
is
hear that?
That? When you are shitting all over a fellow podcaster, a friend that has
hypocrite.
Been supportive. It's hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
It's hypocrite. And where is the respect? I mean, a man, at least I was taught by my dad. My dad, born in 1927. A real man owns up to it, extends the hand and says, look, I'm sorry. And owns up to it. these guys, it's like they're keyboard warriors, and they don't even own up to it. They act like they don't talk shit, and then when they see you at an event, they turn the other way and, you know, or, hey, Steven, how's it going? You know, that fucking idiot.
That we saw at UrbanCon, you know. We see the comments. I see everything. Look at it. I know people are always going to say, oh, don't entertain the bullshit. I get it. I understand. But this is the thing. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to go after it, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say, because there's stupid people out there that like to mix up stories or put other stories. It doesn't make sense. It makes it worse for us. No, fuck that,
because they're lying, and they're painting themselves in a better light because they don't want to admit to their, you know, mentirosas. They don't want to admit to it.
Yeah, it's just something like that. So with Tony, like, who you are, man, you're not a good person. And also, by the way, give the money back. If you're going to make a Chicano documentary, look, let's be frank. ODM's not going to be on it, from Light of Shade of Brown. You know, Night Owl passed away. You know, just certain people that are not going to be. Like, how are you going to do? Like, you know, you took, thank God I didn't pay for it. I was going to help out him. And I thought, like, this guy was seemed pretty cool. But, you know, people's true colors come out. Yeah. You know, oh, it takes time.
What's done in the dark is always brought to the light.
Exactly. And that's why when people press him, we know how you are, Tony. You know, you're a very emotional damage, you know, because that's how you are. You're emotional. And, you know, when you get nervous, you start stuttering. You have a stuttering problem. So I already know all that.
Or it needs liquid courage.
Liquid courage to talk shit.
Gets all puffed up.
I remember when I was being supportive, being there like, hey, Tony, look out. Then you have other people in the ears. Then, you know, there was a time at night he was all drunk. He's like, you know, I don't want to fuck with you, Mega Man. Fuck you. I'm good and all. Then he texts me because, Tony A, you're not a fucking man. You're a fucking bitch. Like a fucking bitch. He DMs me and tells me, hey, you know what, Steven? Hey, I apologize for, I was too drunk, man. I don't fuck with that shit. That's the pussy shit. Be a man and come drive over here and say it to my face. You don't do no keyboard. And this is the problem with the whole social media. Everyone wants to be big, but when shit hits the fan, when you see people in public, you better be ready.
With their tail between their legs.
That's, exactly.
That's their definition of readiness. The fucking mocoso that came up to you over at the UrbanCon.
Norbit. Yeah.
And then he has the balls to say, hey, what's up, Steven? Like nothing happened, but yet he talks all this shit on YouTube.
Fuck that. He's a piece of shit. I regret. And this is the thing. When people tell me, you got to be careful with this guy. He seemed pretty cool in the beginning.
He's doble cara.
Yeah, he's just.
Double face.
And we saw it. We, mm-hmm. You know, he's like, hey, what's up? We saw how his features are.
And
like,
the minute you said, very kindly, you said, Norbit, I can't fuck with you. And we're watching a concert. We're there to watch and support our friend who's performing.
OG Rum.
And then all of a sudden, because Steven tells him, hey, like, I'm watching a concert. I can't fuck with you. Immediately, he went from hot to cold.
Like, fuck you, like that, yeah. Walking away.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. And that's why I said to him, fuck you, fuck Wordy Radio, fuck your team and shit. Y'all a bunch of pussies, dude. Pussies. I regret having them. But the reason why I'm talking about this, because this is how everything started when it went downhill. And that's where it's like, hey, you know what? Getting fired, maybe what God was looking out for me, say, you know, Steven, you've been working so much, you need to stay home and take care of your son. So maybe in a way, it was a blessing. Who knows if it was a blessing or not. But you start seeing people for who they really are. And you start seeing, like, for example, Cindy, when I tell you, hey, watch out for this person, watch out for that. I'm trying to help you know. Mm-hmm. The situation's like, you got, it's a doggy dog world.
Well, and that's the thing, is like Steven had warned me in the beginning. He's like, look, if you're gonna be hanging around with me, if you're gonna get to know me, this is how things are in my world. And at first when he explained it to me, I thought, you know, are you being a little over paranoid or, you know, what's up? But you know what, I saw firsthand, because, you know, I won't mention any names, but there were people that would DM me and ask me personal questions about him. About his situation. Is he working? Is he this? I'm like, why the fuck are you asking me? Why don't you DM him? Or, you know, they're asking personal questions and on my lives. And a couple of my friends that I'm actually, they're fans of mine, but they've also become friends over the years. They called me and they're like, yo, who is that person asking all that stuff on the live? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know who they are. But clearly there's some ulterior motives of what they're looking to get, whatever information they're trying, to gather. And you know, I don't entertain that. I'm not here to play that game. You know, like, to me, the way I carry myself and the way that I move, it's very private. My circle is a fucking dot. you know, and if you're around me, cool. If you get to know me, cool. If you know me through my social media, fine. You can like my pictures all day, every day. But don't be DMing me and asking me personal questions, because you know what? I don't entertain that. If you do, I'm going to just block your ass. I'm not here to play those games.
We already know those types of people for who they are and stuff, and they just want drama. There's a lot of people want cheesemate. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, when you know that, because I've been doing podcasts for almost 6 years, and I'm going to tell you, there's even people that we know. I don't fuck with Felipe. I don't fuck with other comedians. There is one who is like, I saw it at a comedy show. It's like, hey, what's up, Steve? Let me tell you something. I'm not going to mention, I'll tell you off air, but it was someone like, he gave me a shot. Mm-hmm. And for him to talk shit, because now he's big, and he says, let me tell you something. You think this whole podcast game is like, oh, just for shits and giggles, for entertainment. Nah, man, there's people not like that. And I said, if you're going to keep on talking shit, like, I'm going to fuck your ass up. Mm-hmm. And people are like, why are you going to talk like that, Megan? Man, I was like, dude, you're talking some shit about me, man. Yeah. If you got to...
Because they're making it personal.
They're making it
personal. Because they're running their mouth, and they're talking about your daughter. I mean, they don't need to be speaking about your daughter. I mean, your daughter had a very tough situation, and who goes around talking about a child who has cancer? So I understand the anger. I understand I'm going to find that motherfucker, and when I do, I'm going to fucking
We saw that shit.
Yeah, because I get it. I mean, I love my daughter. She's near and dear to my heart, and if anybody had anything negative to say about my kid or wanting to cause harm, you know, bet your ass I'm going to do something.
And this is the thing, like, we're good, because we're still staying on track on this, because you know, there, when I took the time off to be there for my son the whole year, and there, I'm gonna tell you, Cindy, there is a lot of people like, bro, you're still holding that shit in.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you something, Norbit, go fuck yourself. You didn't do shit at UrbanCon, especially West Coast, man. You keep on running your fucking mouth. We saw you.
Yeah,
we saw you.
Steven was standing right in the middle of the quad.
At Wilmington, at the South Bay.
You could have came and talked to him.
Nothing.
But nothing. But
straight fucking
the minute
bitch.
I have to go to work and he's driving straight me to bitch. Drop me off, and then you go run your mouth to, you know, everybody else out there, and then of course it's going to get back to Steven, but that's your plan, because you're a little fucking punk. You can't even go up to him man to man and say, let's have a conversation. Instead, you run your mouth within the circle that he still runs, and you know that they're going to come and tell him. So it's like you're sitting there trying to play your little fuck games. But you know what? One of these days, you're not going to be ready, because one of these days he's going to get you.
I'm going to get you, dude, because you said that. You see, lucky man, I didn't do anything, because that unity for the community. But when you keep on running your mouth or taking jabs, I'm not like how West Coast me takes jabs at certain people or rapper Bozo and all. Nah, fuck all that shit, dude. I'm going to call your ass out. You're always over here in Long Beach, and this is the thing. Be ready. Be ready. Is this something where these people, these are YouTube people. They don't do shit.
And they're doing it for their numbers.
They're doing it for clout. That's sad, huh?
Yeah,
Isn't that pathetic?
It's pathetic, because on one side of their face, when they're talking on their show, they're talking about unity and bringing people together. But how is that bettering anybody?
How is that bettering? You're talking shit. You're being reactions. You're causing all this. I got to get the exclusives, the reactions and all. But at the same time, you're being a hypocrite. And that's when I realized, Cindy, this is a psyops.
Yeah.
I am not going to be like those types of podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be different.
Yeah.
I don't want, and then people, I'm going to tell you something. You got to stop saying, oh, do it for the cultura, do it for raza. No, don't even say
that shit. If you think about it, Steven is doing it for the culture. He's talking about things that are intelligent.
No one talks about.
That are interesting, that are thought provoking, that are giving you an opportunity to expand your mind and grow. And so, isn't that by definition for the raza? It is for the culture. It is for the community. It is to intrigue people. It's to get them to learn. Because at the end of the day, do we need more people fighting and threatening and
we don't need
gun
all this
violence
shit.
And fighting? No, we don't need that. So it's like, if you really want to bring people together, you know, focus on reading a book. You know, do something that's going to change your environment, change your world.
Change the community. Change whatever you can do. And that's one of the real reasons why it's a lot. And I think I told you this. The reason why I started to do a lot of research and make my page how it is, because I was looking for a cure for my son's catatonia, and it went down these rabbit holes of research and research and research and stress, anxieties, and processed sugar to get to the point, hey, you know what? I have an idea. I know, and look at the stuff that I put out, people are scared to put that shit out. There's other podcasters, they do the same reaction, the same regurgitation, talk about things that that no one knows about. And that's one of the things I want to start doing, is to really don't say, oh, it's all about or for our people. And no, it's about for everyone around the world. I cannot be one dimensional, say it's for our people. No, it's for everyone.
You have listeners all over the world.
All over the world.
That reach out to you, you know, big and small. And it's very endearing when you get a message, a DM, thanking you for putting that stuff out and how it changes their life. And I've seen it firsthand. So you keep doing you, and you keep putting good out there, because, you know, good is going to attract good.
Yeah, it's just something what I do, and I've just been doing a lot of research, and to be where it's like all the threats I get, why you people tell me, be careful what you say, be careful what you post. Nah, man. When people tell me that, you guys are fucking pussies. Why don't you do that? Oh, you can't because I have a family. Or because of this. At least in a way, and Cindy is my witness, and a lot of people are witnesses as well, I put my neck on the line. And I don't want a fucking pat on the back, because I know we don't have enough time in this world. So what I want to do, instead of bashing on our people, like how I see other platforms like Wordian Radio or this podcast, or this, or West Coast, or Mind Buzz. We didn't get to that fat fuck right there. I'll fuck that guy. He's a pussy, dude. Fuck that guy. That guy is too scared. You make a fake page, and let's be frank. He made a fake page mm-hmm. about me. He made fake videos and all. That means, in a way, I won. Because yeah. You're jealous. Because yeah. Who makes the time and effort to make a fake page?
Well, and that's the thing, is that it makes me laugh when King Mexico, he says, dang, you got a fake page? I want one of those. You know, because it's like, it's almost like a ego boost of someone was so far up your ass and so on your nuts that they took the time to create a fake page to tag and to add fellow podcasters, and then to create merch. I'm like, what a fucking loser lowlife. I mean, seriously. So I don't know Mind Buzz. I don't follow his podcast. I've never listened to any of his shows. I just happened to see him because you showed me what he looked like, just so that I know, put a name to face. And I'm like, que horrible. But that's it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, it's just something like they're scared. And when I heard the episode of Ranty Romo's where he parted ways with the same situation, look it, man, I tell people, watch out. But there's a lot of hard-headed motherfuckers out there that want to see it from themselves. Hey, you know, I don't. And I heard the episodes, you know, he had fallouts with that. But what is that going to do? You know, hey, I told you so.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, that's like, wait, hey, that's what he gets. Like Long Beach Carlos said, I just watch everything.
Just get your popcorn, sit back and watch the show.
Sit back, because this is where, when you start following a lot of people, when you start supporting, someone told me this, it's like, you think you get a lot of hate? You get 10 times more hate when you give people, when you show people love.
Yeah.
Because how does he know this person? Yeah. How do you know? It's always like that.
And that's the thing, is like, you know so many people.
And I don't brag about it.
And you don't brag about it. And as we go and we move and we do our things and we happen, I mean, even look at my page. I mean, I barely have, what, 300 followers, I think, is
400
that? 400, whatever it's at. And it's like, if you look at my page of me, like, this is what I made for breakfast. This is what I made for lunch. This is where I went to go get a taco. And as you see my page evolve just from me hanging out with you, and you see all these people that are like, oh, she knows this person. Oh, she knows this person. I don't know these people. The only reason why I met these people is because of Steven. So it's kind of ironic to me, because, I mean, obviously my life has changed over the year of just seeing different people that I'm interested in meeting because of who they are. And, you know, it's exciting. I think that we have a really fun life. And despite this little hiccup of the car getting jacked and us getting it back, we just wanted to take the time to thank all of you who took time to donate. And even if you didn't donate, but you sent a quick DM.
It's cool.
A quick message.
It's all good. And a lot of people want to know, like, what happened? Like, it's just, to me, it's like, my podcast is not my podcast. You know, when I was at the top. Yeah. Number two, the best podcast. That's awesome and all.
Yeah.
But sometimes when your son has a condition where we don't know.
Yeah, you don't care about that.
When you're dealing
with a family member who has an illness and it's a tragic situation that is uncertain, you don't care whether you're number one, number two, number 500. What you want is a cure for your son. What you want is for everything to be okay, as best as it can be.
Yeah.
And all the bullshit of who's fucking who and who's sucking who and who's doing this, all that's malarkey. You know, my dad used to say, unless they're paying your bills, unless they're sucking or fucking you, what does it matter? And excuse me for being so vulgar, but that's who I was raised by, my dad. And I kind of take that mentality, that street mentality. I try to be as classy as I can to be a lady, the way that my mom has raised me. But every now and then, that my father figure and my dad and the way he talks pries into my head, especially when I see what Steven has to deal with and who these motherfuckers are.
You got to part ways from people like that. And this is the thing, man. When you start realizing who's going to be there for you or not, you got to move different. You got to move fucking different. And that's just how it is. You got to move fucking different. But right now, we're going to take a break right now and we'll be right back. When people like, hey, what do you mean by people are moving different? What do you mean by that?
When I say I'm moving different, what I mean by that is I'm very observant now.
Yes.
That was something that I had never really done. I kind of just fly by the seat of my pants.
The same
type of girl.
As the same as me.
Yeah. And I was just always happy in my own little world and just kind of like la 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 doing my thing. And you know, I will say that my father, he was more of the thinker. He was more of the leader. He was more of the provider. And he was always very alert. My mom was like the nurturer, you know, the one that would, you know, cook and clean and run the household and was his partner. Mm. And so growing up, seeing my mom and dad raise my six brothers and sisters and me being the baby of the family, being the baby was kind of like that very innocent of just living my life. And my brothers and sisters were always very protective of me. And, you know, make sure Cindy's okay. And, you know, I grew up kind of very sheltered. And throughout them getting married and moving on in their lives, I was kind of like the last one at home, you know, my brother and I. And once my brother got engaged and moved out of the house, it was just me with my mom. So I kind of like realized that a lot of their mentoring to me went away because I was the youngest. And so when my dad died when I was 16, I didn't really have that father figure. It was more my brother kind of giving me pointers and whatnot. But mind you, he's like 4 years older than me. So his friends were not my friends because they were so much older than me. Mm-hmm. I was still at home. I wasn't allowed to be outside. You know, I had to be at home when the lights came on. But my brother was in high school, so he was still out. As I grew up and kind of realized how the world moves and became a mom and, you know, married, divorce, relationships, breaking up, all that stuff, you kind of like see the world differently as you mature and as you grow and you learn. And obviously as you date, you know, the men that you pick when you're in your 20s isn't the men that you would pick when you're in your 30s, and it's certainly not the man you would pick when you're in your 40s. You know, here I am approaching my 50s and I kind of feel like I've learned so much, but I move differently because now I'm very observant. I'm very picky and I'm very critical of how people are with me. And then more importantly, I'm very aware of how I am with them. You know, when you go through things in life that are very difficult, you have a choice to make of allowing them to harden you, or you have a choice to learn from it, grow from it, mature from it, mm-hmm. and improve.
I feel like with me, for me moving different, I think it's with all the experiences I've been through in life, from the good times, bad times, and ugly times, like with certain people and all. And of course, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to motivate you and listen to other shows or platforms and kind of hear people out and have their stories and make better decisions. You know, we all were fuck ups at one time making bad decisions, but we ain't getting younger. We're getting older, but we can't entertain that kind of bullshit anymore. At the same time, when I have to move different, is because, you know, now, like, with all the stuff that you heard on the first segment with all those levas, like, dude, who gives a fuck about all those guys? I feel more like scared because of how my mouth is, what I say, and what I post, because I'm not entertaining all that crap. I'm looking at the world for who it is. And a lot of people said to me, I think you figured out the matrix.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I put, I'm pushing everything in your face because I'm getting threats.
Yeah.
You know, I had Men in Black come, you know, FBI's I mean, people, you can say what you want, people, but you witnessed it, you know, having Apple trackers, you know,
Instagram, the little lines going in it and recording and words are racing as we were trying to type and edit stuff.
My bank account's frozen for weeks. I mean, I'm getting letters, I'm getting threats, because they want the people to still be sleeping. But now that everyone's waking up, now you understand what's going on in the world. And this is one of the reasons I told you, Sydney, a lot of other people, is that people waking up from what's going on social media is that they want to say, oh, hey, we're going to have a shower and there's going to be no Wi-Fi. And yes, they're doing all this crap. And look what's going on with social media, with the whole, you know, with Israel and Palestinians and all that. We already know what it is. People are going to be like, pick a side. It's a psyops. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pick a side. We all know that they're going to build a canal right through Gaza Strip.
Well, and it's the same way what happened with COVID. They separated and divided, whether you're for the shot or whether you're against the shot.
Yeah.
And then here we are now with this whole, you know, are you with Palestine or are you with the other? And it's like, it's always about dividing. It's always about dividing. Are you Republican or are you Democrat? You know,
Mexicans versus blacks.
Yeah,
it's always gonna be,
you know, one or the other. And so if you just realize, like, listen, we are a human race, we need to do what's right for humanity, and, you know, and try to keep peace and love in your heart. And I know it sounds very kind of kumbaya, but at the end of the day, you know,
don't feed into the bullshit,
because once you start feeding into that, that's when your mind starts going into the dark, into the ugly, and you start feeding into your ego of what's best for you.
And I'm telling you, it's hard, because I have sleepless nights and there's so much stuff that I can put out, but I'm very limited, because, you know,
when Instagram will freeze his account.
Freeze my accounts. And like, you know, when people say, hey, Megan, I'm getting this screen says, are you sure you want to follow this page? We're not just talking out of our ass. They know. They put me on timeout and all. And this is the thing. When you have a voice, and now it took me a long time to get my page how it is, a lot of people want to know. Just speak your mind. Say what you want to say. And this is the right time. You know, like, I just feel like we're in the last days. And when people tell me, like, I'm glad, Mega Man, like, you're talking about this, you're saying how you are, but you got to get right with God. Mm-hmm. And I get this a lot, but I feel like, to me, I have to think about me, because I feel like that's something that's hard to step away, because I don't want to be that hypocrite of going back to being.
And the thing is that when people say you need to get right with God, it's not that he's not a Christian. It's not that he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. It's not that. It's just that they may be looking through rose-colored glasses. And, you know, in no disrespect to the people that are telling him this, because, you know, there's a few people that I know who have talked to you about this.
Yes.
That you love and respect. But the thing is they're looking at you from who they knew you were when you were spending time with them, you know, or in their lives. Mm-hmm. You're down here living here on your own, raising your boys, and you're a man.
Just doing me.
Doing you.
And
it's like, of course you're going to do that. Of course you're going to kind of like recalibrate and see what's best for you in your life.
But choose the people wisely. Like,
absolutely.
When I did a video a couple months back, said I'm not supporting all y'all motherfuckers, because mm-hmm. they saw for who they are. There's nothing but drama. Mm-hmm. You know, look, we can say a lot of situations. You know, people always ask, like, hey, what happened with you and Commitment Soldier and Flight Boy and stuff? Look, that's their situations. It is what it is.
We're staying neutral. And we're not going to entertain the bullshit.
we have to.
Yeah.
We go to events. We always show people love. But it's always going to be like, hey, Mega Man, why are you around these people if there's some problems? Or, hey, Mega Man, why are you being around these people? And they have...
Because their problems aren't our problems.
No.
At the end of the day, again, are they paying our bills? No. You know, we say hello. We say goodbye. We're respectful. We're kind.
Yeah, man.
But we're not going to entertain their bullshit, because that's their problem, not ours.
Then this is where I have a lot of my friends, and I always want to push them to be better people and all. It's like, instead of being assholes, be better people. But I will have to be dicks for certain people that just don't know when to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
They always. And this is where when things changed last year till now, where this whole year, it was kind of like regrouping, rethinking who to follow, who to bring on. And I have to say, you know, there's a lot of people I regret bringing on. I'll be honest with you. You're going to hear it. Local Pez, I regret bringing you on. Yeah. You know, you're very emotional, and it's just sad that there's people out there that are not man. And you can apologize to me. That's not going to make a difference. Like, you already showed your true colors. And this is the thing. When I show love to people, I show it with love and compassion and always.
But, and respect.
And but they always will walk over you and burn you. So when I took a break and realized, you know, you have to be careful who you hang around with. You can't be hanging around with people like that or anyone else every fucking day. Again, this is one of the reasons why I don't go to events. This is one of the reasons why I move different. This is the one of the reasons why people say Mega Man is so difficult to make friends with. Yeah.
Because your standards are very, very high.
Very
high.
And
you're not going to sit there and want to be friends with people that are fake and that are going to say to you or be on your podcast and say one thing, but then turn around and behind your back when no one's looking,
yeah,
behave a different way.
It can't be like that. It can't be like that. Is,
you know, it's like growing up, you know, when you're in elementary school, that's typically when you see who's who and what's what. But here we are grown adults. Mm-hmm. If there's a problem, that's where the phone call should be made, not to somebody else,
yeah,
to be the middleman, mm-hmm, but to directly to that person. If you have a problem, talk to the person
and
directly.
This is the thing. We know people will call, and it's like, and I will tell them, who's crying this time?
Yeah.
Who's crying this time?
Yeah.
Why? For what? Yeah. Why? And why is it that going up to these certain people to tell me as a third party, and they can't do it themselves?
Yeah, because they're grown-ass men.
Bunch of fucking pussies. Yeah. Pussies.
And the thing is I could see if you were doing something wrong or bad that maybe they needed that middleman, the buffer, but you're not. And that's where I'm like scratching my head, like, what the fuck is going on?
Because the thing is, when you start doing research and start learning about a lot of things, you put people in categories.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people we had to part ways from. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll give you an example, Mr. Well Known. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go into that, but you know, hey, we're cool, but we're good.
Yeah.
I can't. That's how I am with a lot of people, because yeah, I don't entertain the bullshit. I don't want to be around ignorant people. I don't want to be around two faces. Mm-hmm. Hey, we had a good time and all, but your people's true colors came out.
Yeah.
The same thing. Like with the fucking Poet King.
Yeah.
Talking all your fucking shit, dude. Talking all that shit. I don't give a fuck.
That's all you, man.
I know that. I
don't
know.
Even have anything to say on that.
I don't give a care.
Number one, I don't even feel like I even got a fair chance. Number two.
Now, he was crying because he was like, oh, I'm going to block him. You can say whatever you want, Poet King, but y'all know you cry like a little fucking baby because you got your blue check mark and stuff. But that's how he is. That's how a lot of people are. When you see them in pop platforms and all. Because look, I'm going to keep this podcast raw. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep it fucking raw. And you know, he entertains all that bullshit. You talk all that shit, but when shit comes at you, you don't know how to take it.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, we're gonna talk raw. Let's talk raw. Because one night we're at your pad, we're having fun, we're on a live. You know, I'm wearing my little outfit. We're gonna have fun, and all of a sudden this guy is like
talks a lot of shit.
Tell your girl to shut up, or tell your girl this. It's like, motherfucker, why don't you tell me? Like, we're on a live, bitch. So if you have something to say, say something to my face. But then fast forward a month after, we're doing a podcast at the studio and you don't say nothing to me. You weren't even invited, number one. Number two, you know, I'm there with Steven and he's interviewing Well Known.
It was a good time.
And it was a good time. We all had a great time. But then you had to be so disrespectful by telling him, trash talking him. And then you see me at the event over here, you know, in East LA, not even a hello, not even a goodbye, not even nothing.
Yeah, man.
You don't even say anything. So you know what? I just, you know, people are like that with me. I could control alt delete too, you know, and I'm a respectful person. My parents raised me to be kind hearted and to be respectful, but I don't have a sign on the back of my neck that says kick me. So, you know, to all of you people that don't necessarily like me, it's okay. I don't fucking like you either.
It's okay. And this is the thing. When you see people's true colors, you know, you avoid that. You don't entertain that stuff, but you move different. And that's the thing. There's a lot of ignorant people. There's a lot of emotional, stubborn people, very prideful. And I'm sorry to say, you know, there's a lot of people who are just not very intellectual.
No, and they're not. And then they get mad, and they're, what I don't understand is they're telling you to tell me something. Like, Steven respects me, and I respect Steven. You know, Steven pours into me, I pour into him. He has my back, I have his. But it's like, the way they talk to him, like as if I'm invisible in the room saying, put your girl in check. What the fuck is that? Like, are we living in 1950s? Like, I'm a grown-ass woman. Like, you have something to say, come and talk to me. You know, I don't feel like I'm not approachable. I'm very approachable. And clearly I can talk. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it kind of hurt me because I'm like, I looked at it as these are your friends. This is your circle. And obviously being being brought into that, you know, you want people to like you. And it really hurt my heart because I'm like, I felt like I was having fun.
We were being supportive and all that with him. And it's just when people's true colors came out, be careful with this person and all. Yeah. And it's kind of like weird. Like, we'd be cool with people, but man, they just want to see how much they can get away with and just talk shit.
Well, and the thing is you have never disrespected him on lives or in person.
Yeah.
You've never talked the way he talks to you on lives or the way he used to talk to you on lives. You've never moved that way. I've never seen you disrespect people that way. But yet he would come at you and he would press on you. And then the one time that you talked about the blue check mark, which wasn't even related to him.
Nothing.
It was just in general.
And hold up. Before you say that, I want to tell you, there was going to be three people
mm-hmm.
when that whole shit came
out. That you were going to call to congratulate.
Correct. And Pool King was one of them.
Yeah, because you thought he earned it and he got it on his own accord. And you've been trying to get it on yours, which he hasn't. And he was like, dang, look, my homie got it, blah, blah, blah. And I just came home from
work.
Rarely
I give congratulations to.
I had just came home from work. I got there and then he told me. And then, boom, you blocked him. And I was like, damn, like, you didn't even get a chance to pick up the phone and call him or
it's
DM
okay.
him or whatever.
It's okay. And I know the other one, he had a blue check mark, but he took it off. But he's like, I get it. But the one who really deserved it when that whole shit came out was Ezon. Mm-hmm. Shouts to Ezon from We Don't Smoke the Same. He earned it. He busts ass. He's a renaissance and all. But, you know, people just jump to conclusions or jump the ball. And it's like, hey, it is what it is. But, you know, people can, like I said, run their mouth. But it's like, people have to move different. I'm going to part ways. People just climb the ladders. Anything what they can do to gravitate to get clout. People are so addicted to crack. Like, well, I can say crack.
Yeah,
but
it's clout crack.
Clout crack, you yeah. know, clout crack.
Clout crack.
But that's just how people are. They just, that's why when people always, oh, I'm going to come on your podcast. I'm like, dude, I don't want you on.
Yeah.
You're coming on, but what do you bring to the table? Okay, if I have you on, how are you going to change my life?
Yeah.
How are you going to change?
What knowledge are you pouring into me?
Correct.
What are you doing in my life to make me be a better person, a better human being, a better mother, better father, better whatever, you know? What are you doing? And those are the questions we need to ask. Like I've said before, you need to look in the mirror and take an inventory and check off your list of what you're doing good. And then look at the list of what you're doing bad.
Correct.
And then there you go. Move differently.
Remember I told you when I have a binder that has like my strong points and
yep.
my weak points?
Yep.
But it's also in life.
Yeah.
You know, when we go to events, and this is the thing a lot of people don't know. When me and Cindy, or maybe me or her, we go solo, we go to any events, we do our homework for who's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be professional. And we also have to know who's going to be there that we don't want to be around them
mm-hmm.
because they're trouble. And I'm going to tell you something. I really believe there's a lot of bad energy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have
yep.
some fucked up energies.
And that's why that energy that's dark, I rebuke that shit. And I'm like, I'm good. I don't need that.
And I'll give a shout out to the homie Slick Vic.
Mm-hmm.
He just got baptized.
He just got baptized. Congratulations.
I was talking to Slick Vic. It's like, you know what, man? I'm kind of glad. Because a lot of shit, the same stuff that was happening to me, which we can't talk about,
yeah.
but it's personal. But he's like, I had to do. It's like, I had to part ways.
Because you're making a conviction for yourself, and you're choosing yourself, and you're saying, you know what, God, I want you in my life. And once you make that stand, and you choose to walk with the Lord, it's an amazing thing. But see, becoming a Christian and choosing to live a Christian life, that's where you start getting attacked even more. Because the devil is like, oh, okay, cool. You're taking a stand. Well, here, now I'm going to come and fuck with you even more. And he will use your family, your friends. He will use anyone around you to get at you. And that's why you got to pray up and you got to have your shield of armor and say, okay, today I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to protect me. And you got to be mentally strong because there's so many things, you know, in the natural that can happen versus the supernatural. And that's one thing that I've learned. That's what I feel I've grown more.
When my mom called, she said, like, man, I'm going to pray for you. It's like, well, and I told my mom, why? I feel like where you're at, you're having a spiritual warfare.
Totally.
Because
and my brother said the same thing to you.
Because you're moving on from the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's still there. And we talked about this. One of the reasons why I want to stay single and not date because I'm not ready
mm-hmm.
is not because of, no, I don't want to hear. Is this that? You cannot jump into a relationship if you're not really healed, but at the same time, you need to look around of all the cracks that needs to be, like, fixed
healed, yeah.
or worked and all. And again, I just had to part ways from people. I wanted to take some time off. I really wanted to find myself, regroup and all. And I think I have a purpose, because my purpose is to change people's lives, you know, push out the truth, you know, be a voice for the people in the community. You know, this is what's going on, but also look out, like, yo, watch out for this person, watch out for that. Is this that I'm just moving different, where all the stuff that happened to me and those people are growing up. And I'll tell you this, Cindy, the people that we know or you see, it's pretty sad that they haven't grown. They haven't matured.
No, they're staying the same.
And that, to me, you just have to part ways from them.
Of course, because you don't want to be in stagnant water, because that breeds mosquitoes.
And that's one of the reasons why I parted ways. And people are like, oh, could you unfollow me? I don't give a, you crying over that? And I'll tell you reasons. Like, I don't fuck with you. You're a piece of shit. And a lot of people, they don't want the truth, but they want the fake truth. And some people is just like,
you're not about faking the funk.
Nah, man,
you've never been that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's where people are like, you know, George, your problem is, you know, you always put people down, you're too honest and stuff, so you want me to change so we could be in the even playing field? It doesn't work like that, homie. Nice try.
Yeah.
Nice try. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, you're not looking to give a merit badge to everyone.
Fuck all that shit.
Participation, you know.
I don't cry over fucking blue check marks and this, or paying $14.99 knowing the fact, oh, I'm going to get a blue check mark because I'm special. I'm going to tell y'all motherfuckers this, and this is a little conspiracy. To all the dumb motherfuckers, Ezon's different from We Don't Smoke to Say. I'm not going to say he's dumb. That's my homie. But the ones, you wasted your money thinking like you want to put a mask on, but not knowing Mark Zuckerberg, he said, hey, we should get blue check marks and all because they lost a lawsuit over there in Europe and UK, and they had to cough over billions of dollars, and they had to get that money in a certain way.
So what they did was they leveraged all you fools to pay $15 so that they could give blue check marks like it was a piece of candy, because that was his bill that he needed to pay.
He had to pay because he lost a lawsuit for going against privacy agreements and all that. So that, to me, I saw that. But a lot of people always say,
don't want to put two and two together to figure that out. They want to be like, oh, look, I got a blue check mark. I'm special.
And this is the thing, people. You have to do your research. You know, and we talked about this a couple days ago. Give credit when credit's due. I push whatever I can out, but give credit. But it's just something where it's like, people just these days, they don't want to do the fucking homework. They don't want to do homework. People don't care.
No, because they don't want to read, and they don't want to research, and they don't want to learn about it. They just want to be told. And then if they don't like what is coming out of the person's mouth, oh, that's not true. But they don't do anything to actually investigate it to see if it is or isn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. If like, well, that's not true, where?
And I've said this many times before, that you will have a conspiracy that you'll talk on, and it never fails. Like 5 to 6 months later, all of a sudden Joe Rogan's talking about it, and I'm like, bro, you were like so ahead of the bell curve on that. And he was talking about it, and now all of a sudden everyone's jumping on the bandwagon, because like back when Stephen was talking about the ice wall 5 months ago,
Antarctica,
and talking about, you know, the missions, I'm like, no one was talking about that. And now all of a sudden, everybody's talking about that.
You know, people said, you're the only podcast I know that posts Antarctica and ice walls and this. You're like way in the rabbit hole.
And they thought that you were out there.
Yeah, but this is the thing when people say, oh, he's out there, he's weird, he's nerd. But no, it's a curiosity.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. What if? I mean, if you're telling me, oh, I need you to do this, why?
Yeah.
Well, why need you? How come? I'm one of those. I'm going to ask why. I'm going
to
be curious.
And you better have the answer why, because this is why we need to do this, because of this. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's good.
And it's all nothing but history. It's all about learning. You know, when I talk to, shout out to the homie Flo, he's like, I need facts. Look it. I'm like this.
I like Flo.
It's like this. You're cleaning the house. Yeah. And I'm the mom behind you. Did you get that spot?
Yeah.
Did you get this spot?
Did you use the pine saw?
Huh?
Did you get the Lysol?
Let me get my finger.
White glove and check.
Why is there still dust on my finger? See? You got to cover people. You got to help each other out.
And let me just tell you, anyone who knows Steven, because hello, he worked at Sprouts for all those years. Mm-hmm. I love it because you have OCD. So you're such a clean freak.
Oh, I am.
And you like everything so organized. And I'm the same way. So it's really nice, because it's like, I can be a little bit more messy at times with my clothes and whatnot. But I love that you are like so organized, because it makes it nice.
Yeah. And you know, when I'm at home, it's just like, I'm just trying to be more original and be more ahead of the game. And I know a lot of podcasters, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of envy. a lot of jealousy. We all saw. And the thing is, like, how is this motherfucker winning?
Because he has a winning mindset. I mean, there's the key.
I'll give you an example. Hold up. Shouts to the homie, Groove Shack.
There you
Shouts
go.
Shouts to the homie.
Oh, I love his voice, by the way. He has that radio voice.
But this is the thing. When we were talking about it, and, you know, this... It's something that's like, you know, people, it rubs people the wrong way. Uh-huh. But this is the thing. It's not about being cocky. It's about being confident.
Yeah.
I'm confident of what I do.
Yeah.
He's confident. You're the best. What you do, yeah. Cindy, you're the best. He's the best. Well, we're all like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, at that time, we didn't know how to pick each other up.
Yeah.
People don't know how to take constructive criticism.
Well, and that's the thing. You need to be open so you can improve.
But they don't. But this is the thing. Do we make the time and effort to sit down and resolve our differences? Yes or no?
Not everyone likes to do that.
Correct.
I.e. Mind Buzz. I.e. American... what's his name? No, not... What's the guy? The one that we saw at the Wilmington thing.
Oh, West Coast Graffiti.
There you go, West Coast Graffiti.
American Cholo's the homie.
Yeah, American Cholo's
the homie. He's going to be who he is. Yeah. Shout to him.
But it's like, if you just want to have a conversation with someone and say, look, you know, you and I have different opinions... We may not always agree, and that's okay, but we can respect each other. Let's sit down and break bread and respect each other. I think the world would be a lot better place.
It'd be a lot more better. It's just that, you know, when we look and see so much talent, but when you see on social media, this drama, to me, Cindy, I'm one of those, like, it's not about drama. It's the people who cause those dramas and that likes to instigate.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people we need to look out for. Those are the people you have to throw them under the bus. I'm sorry.
Oh, totally.
We have to, because we're looking. Because, hey, if that shit could happen to this person, it could happen to me. It could happen to you. It could happen to anyone else.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be like...
Oh, and it has happened to me. I've had someone who I, you know, at the time cared about, and he screwed me over hardcore. And it's okay. One day we'll do a podcast on him and I'll get it all out, get my anger out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've chosen to take the high road and move on because I look at it like I'm going to give it to God. And, you know, that's the best advice I have for anyone who's going through something, whether it's through a fellow podcaster or a hater or whatever. Because at the end of the day, the people that are your haters, they're just jealous of you.
And they're my biggest fans because you guys are keeping my lights on. You guys are giving me more numbers. You guys are making me relevant. And I'm over here at home just taking care of my son.
Just chilling.
And this is the thing when people talk shit about me.
Eating fettuccine that I made.
And this is the thing when people talk shit about me and all. Ah, you ran out of stuff to talk about. You're regurgitating. Wow.
Wow. Well, okay. Must be a slow week that week.
It must be a slow week.
It's true. Because they don't have anything in their brain to be creative. So they have to, like, reach out for that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I mean, come on, we're Mexicans. We love to be like, you know, chismosas. Like, hey, what's going on? Oh, did you know what I heard? You know, like,
yeah,
of course it's that. But
yeah, but that's like, just how, on. Yeah? Hey, come on. We're going to be on the bush. Yo, burritos. Guess what I heard, dog?
What?
Because look, if you're asleep. Because
there's times where I'm asleep. No, there's been times where I'm dead asleep. Like last night. And you're all, yo. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what?
But you know what? You know, look, with my mindset, how it is, I just want to see people win. But just move different and just be careful when people are giving you good advice, because there's some people that we know we gave good advice to, they don't learn their lesson, they do it, then a year or two later be like, you know, Mega Man, you're right. And I said, see, all those podcasters that talked all that shit to me back then, are they doing anything in life? Are they really happy in life? Are they miserable? Probably still. They see me like, oh, fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been 5 years, dog. Come on. You gotta move on, dog.
Time to move on.
You gotta move on.
Do you need a hug?
You want a hug? You gotta move on.
Yeah.
But you know, and it's just something. And you know, a lot of people always like, I like when you and King Mexico won. It's like, yo, it's cool. I like the homie King Mexico. Shouts to him. I want the show to be better. Mm-hmm. And King Mexico over here, and I really want the show to be better because we gotta pick each other up, because there are so many things. And I'm gonna be very blunt about this, about my homie King Mexico. I love him. I want things to be a little different because, you know, he's a family man, I'm a family man, but there's things that sometimes we're different. And I think with the expectation, I want it to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, it's like, he's just, chill. Mm-hmm. But I just want to do whatever I can to build numbers the organic way. Do things different the organic way, Cindy. Talk about different genres or different topics. This is what I have, what I've been doing. Picking the right people. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. When you see the same motherfuckers on every fucking podcast.
It's like they rotate them. It's like first they go to this podcaster. Then they go to the next podcaster.
Well, where you go? Talking about your movie.
And you're hearing the same who, what, when, where, why. And it's like you heard that already on another podcaster. So it's like that's the thing. It's like it's regurgitated. And it's like who the hell wants to hear that 10 times over?
No, I want
to
hear it.
So what we want to hear is different and exciting and something that is going to motivate you that you hear in that story, you know, and that's what I like about Steven's page. Cause again, I've been a fan of his for quite some time. And when I see him interviewing people and of course I love the whole conspiracy things too, but you know, when he would just do his Mega Man After Dark or his Mega Man Live or, you know, just being silly at night, you know, during COVID times. And then even now recently he's interviewing people that you're hearing their stories. There's people that he has on his list that are coming up that I cannot wait until he interviews them because I've been waiting and waiting for that. And it's exciting.
And this is the thing where a lot of people are like, how can we not tell us? It's like, there's a lot of things like where I couldn't do anything for 2023. Mm-hmm. I just, if I did a podcast, I felt like it, you know, it's just, you're cleaning your mess.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to get a tune up. You need an oil change and all, but everything's going to be changed, you know, working on to get, you know, the
2024 merch. Is your year.
Has to my year. You know, you wake up, you see 2023, but in 2024, it's going to be where people are like, what type of guests are you bringing on? I'm only bringing two guests a month.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to bring the same burritos like all those people. Like, who gives a fuck? I'm going to bring people. This person has a story.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you cannot bring people, have a million followers and doesn't know how to fucking talk.
Yeah.
You got to find people who know how to fucking talk.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing.
Well, because you're listening to the podcast as you're driving home from work or on your way, you know, to run errands and stuff. That's when I listen to my podcast. And, you know, it's like that's the time where you're like, listening to the story, and then like you sometimes you have to pause it because you're, you know, doing laundry or whatever it is that you're doing in between, and that's the part that needs to keep you intrigued, you know, it needs to grab your attention.
I feel like with the podcast, when I get to the 300s, and a lot of people don't know this, they don't give you a bleep in a lot, I have over close to 1300. I don't care, but like, well, it's kind of weird, but you're at 200. You count the lives, mm-hmm. count the podcasts, you count the guest appearances, you count everything. I don't keep count anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know what? Just push it out.
Yeah.
But I feel when I get to the 300s, it's going to be mixture where I'm going to speak my mind. This is how it is going to be. The Mega Man's life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do fun facts,
mm-hmm.
talk about sports. We're going to talk about our community. We're going to talk about small businesses. Where do you go? Of course, you can talk about conspiracies and car talks and you have guests on. But you got to change it up because people get bored of the same shit.
Yeah.
Keep people on their toes. Yeah. Know your graph. Know your people.
Know your demographics stuff. And what they like.
That's just how it is.
Well, and I like that you know them. You actually know your fans. Like,
yeah.
You know,
I know what they like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the homie shouts to Big Nate.
Mm-hmm.
He was on and we were talking about fucking Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Because he had a picture and took a picture with, you know, the Karate Kid, like the actors. Mm-hmm. And we were watching the videos. It's like, hey, did you know this actor from this show in Karate Kid the movie was a movie from this? And from this, oh, we know this actor?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It just snowballs, yeah.
Shouts to fucking, you know who taught me that?
Yeah.
Leo, Movies on Weed.
Oh, nice.
Movies on Weed podcast.
There you go.
Shout outs to him, but you know
what? We need to do a podcast with Leo and with Big Knock. That would be so cool because they're like movie buffs.
I want to do a podcast with me, you, and Leo. We talk about a movie and we just talk about some shit. But but there's so many opportunities. And look, and a lot of people don't know, like, I had opportunities, Cindy, mm-hmm. and then to everyone listening, of having sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Having endorsement deals,
yep.
having being invited to be have my own podcast show and getting paid mm-hmm. and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do that, how am I going to take care of my son?
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you know Steven the way that I know Steven, his family comes first.
Yeah.
His boys come first.
It's hard.
And that's the
it's
way it
hard,
should be.
Man.
And of course, you know, you have your business and your podcasting and the dreams of what you want to do for mm-hmm. your future.
Oh, yeah.
But your kids have always come first. And that's the reason why I care about you so much, is because you are an amazing father.
But you know what I learned? Like, when you have your ups and downs, and knowing what I know, you know, and I'll be honest, and we talked about this, of me, like, not drinking that much and me not smoking. And I realized there was someone I want to give a shout out to, Jose. And we saw him, you know, trying to get my body back in order, because I'm 43. And this dawned on me right now when one of my good childhood friends, he passed away when he was 42 of a heart attack. He was big. And I realized, wait, I'm 43 and I just passed him. And I'm just going this route of just drinking or smoking weed and just don't give a fuck. I have to
start giving a fuck.
Start giving a fuck and start having a balance of getting right with myself, working out, getting, you know, healing, just moving different, talking different. You know, it's just something where I'm just learning how to be as a man and trying to be there for my kids and spend time. It takes its toll, because there was a lot of, like, tragic moments of this year and last year, and all that stuff. You know, maybe God just says, this job's not for you. These people are not for you. You're gonna see the light. And I remember my mom said, you know, Stephen, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I said, what? When we went to March and we thought we're gonna get, you know, best podcast in Long Beach, but it was rigged because they gave it to someone. But my mom says, you know what? I don't give a care if you won or not, because, you know, I'm just happy that you got your life in order. You're not into mischief, you're not into trouble. People know you, people respect you and what you do, and you push it out there because you're just, my mom was just happy.
She was proud of you.
I just want to be the man of the people, because sometimes I realize, Cindy, how is my legacy going to be remembered when I'm not here on earth, where people think about me? And this is where I always give love and I always show love and respect to the ones who do. Like, dude, like today, Cambodian Cowboy.
Oh, wow. So today, when we were sitting in Signal Hill at the police station waiting to get the report from his car being impounded and stolen, and, you know, who stole it and all that, he gets a DM from Chad, Cambodian Cowboy. And, you know, whether you found it in your heart to donate to his current situation and it was $20, $30.
Yeah, or $5 or a dollar.
Yeah, or whether you chose to donate, you know, $100, $200, whatever the amount was. The thing is it was so overwhelming to see all of these people throughout the last couple of days.
Even major people, Cindy, that we can't mention. But they didn't do that GoFundMe. We're gonna send you. They said don't mention my name, but I love what you do.
Yeah. And it just was so moving, because I mean, obviously
Raider Tommy.
Yeah, obviously I care about you, Stephen. I care about the boys, Alex and Gavin, and, you know, and I wanna see you do well, you know. And when you have a circumstance that happens that's, like, so jolting, where your car's stolen, I mean, geez.
And this shit happens. That could happen to any of us.
Yeah, and it could happen to any of us. You know, none of us are safe from having your car stolen. And, you know, when it happened to him, we were in shock because, you know, the police are knocking at the door at 4 a.m.
And we're still asleep.
We were dead asleep.
And that was the day I was going to go help out with Santa.
Yeah.
Give out turkeys for the local Hearts Foundation.
And I didn't have to go into work till later that evening. And you said, you know, do you want to go for a couple of hours? You know, we'll go donate. And, you know, when you have to go to work, you could leave and I'll stay and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I'm down. I'll just drink a Monster and I'll push through. And I was excited because, I mean, I'm a fan of the Hood Santa. I love what he does. And I think it's inspirational. And there's a lot of need that's out there. So I'm like, yeah, of course I would love to go.
Just shit happens.
And
when
then shit happened. And that, it was mind blowing and it was scary because we were freaked out. Like, wait a minute. Like, it starts to set in where you're like, holy cow. Like, what if they had guns? What if they had this? What if they had that?
I was really realizing, imagine if I would have saw what they're doing. Hey, what are you doing? I would have been shot and they would have took my car and they probably would have ran me over.
And it wasn't until Chris Driscoll called you to remind you of, hey, you know what? You got your health. You got a roof over your head. The car's gone, but they're going to hopefully find it. And, you know, your boys are healthy. Cindy's healthy. Like, once he put it all into perspective,
yes.
I had not even thought of that. And then once he said all that, it was like, you know, because our minds were just racing. We were just like, go, go, go.
Yeah, yeah.
And once he put it in perspective, I was like, holy cow, like, we could have been shot. What if we were coming out of the car with groceries and stuff and coming upstairs and boom, all of a sudden that happened? Like, who knows? And there's been some crazy shit that has happened in the last couple of weeks with lights being turned on and turned off.
I mean, and it's like to the point, it's a lot of these people, they just, they're not there in the head. But at the same time, we'll talk light about this, of what we saw on the side of our fucking yard.
Yeah. We came home one night and I had made spaghetti for dinner, and after we were done with dinner, Steven's like, you know, want to go to the corner store? Let's go grab a couple of beers so we can relax. The boys are going to go to sleep. Okay, cool. So we went to go grab some, and I'm excited because I'm going to mix it with my sangre de tigre.
Shout out. Rest in peace, Alfredo. Love you, boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we come home and I see the lights flickering upstairs, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And in the corner of my eye, my peripheral, I see a dude standing behind the door of Steven's apartment, and I'm like, whoa. And so I turn on my flashlight and I flash it at the guy, and I'm like, Steven, look, that guy, you know, go tell him something. And so then Steven got his flashlight. He's like, yo, like, what are you doing back there? Get the hell out of my apartment, you know, get away from there. So then I run upstairs to go check on the boys, and I'm like, Alex, Gavin, are you guys okay? And Gavin starts explaining that the lights were going on and off, and that they could hear the power switch clicking on and off.
Almost started a fire.
Yeah. And he cut one of the live wires, and it was live. It was, it could have ignited. So that was very scary. And the next morning, the apartment manager sends, you know, the apartment manager to come and check on it. We were able to get it fixed and all.
But what we saw, I'm going to tell you, people are going to battle spiritual warfares. People do not want to see people win. And what we saw, I was shocked.
So there was this white candle that had been lit. The candle looked like it had been burned about halfway. And at the bottom of the candle was a little video game cartridge that looked like it went into like a Sega Genesis or a Nintendo DS. And it said Mega Man. And then below it at the bottom, there was like flakes of like the black from the fire in the candle. So it looked like someone was doing like Santeria or something. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like dark energy. So immediately I grab the candle, I grab the video game, I go in and I throw it. As I'm doing it, I'm praying in my head, saying, you know, all of this that was burnt and brought to his home, I'm taking all of this energy and sending it back to its original sender. Mm-hmm. So whoever was the person that was casting this evilness, we're sending it right back to them. And then, of course, I start praying that we're
bad
protected.
Shit was happening.
Yeah, and bad shit was happening. And I just immediately started praying, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ is protecting Stephen.
Evil, man. There's Gavin, evilness Alex in this world, man.
It was bad. It was really bad.
I was the first time having something like that before, and I was like, I just couldn't believe it. But you know, it's been an uphill climb, but you know, you gotta be careful who you bring into your house. You gotta be careful how you shake people's hands. You gotta be careful because we don't know what these types of people, you know, you gotta do background checks. And that's one of the reasons I haven't had a guest, because I want to know people who I already know. But people are like, well, you gotta do a background. We don't know who you are. We know who you are on social media. But
just what, a month ago when you were over at ErbaCon and you're doing an interview with friends, one of the other persons
Meet Me at Midnight Podcast.
One of the other persons that was brought on to Meet Me at Midnight Podcast. Shout out to her, to Annette. But Steven didn't know that one of the guests that was brought on
was a chomo.
And it wasn't until the next morning, like a week later, that I'm on my way to work. 5:30 in the morning on ABC News on my Instagram.
Shag the mystery band.
I'm on my way to work, and all of a sudden, Steven's blowing up my phone like, Cindy, look at this. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, delete. Like, delete anything related to this guy.
A lot of people are like,
oh. It was scary.
We didn't want to be able to see. This is the thing for when it comes to, like, to our people. Mm-hmm. We don't fuck without that shit. We don't fuck with chomos. Mm-mm. And, like, We can't, because that can be. I remember, it was bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah, I remember when I saw a post, and I know Flyboy, you're my homie, I fucking love you. And this is the thing, when there's people who are going to give you advice, you better fucking take it.
Yeah.
When you post and say, you think I should interview SPM, like South Park Mexican? And I said, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's like saying, because I had this incident before. I'm not going to mention, but celebrities that we know, we'll talk off air, that three people were going to come on my show not knowing it was two guys and it was a woman. Then you find out later, they're chumos.
Yeah.
All three of them.
Yeah.
And even though if this person, SPM, was having sex with underage, even with like 10 or 9 year olds.
That's disgusting.
And you want to interview.
That is molestation. That is
to
disgusting.
Me, the people, I'm telling you, you will get a bad image if if you interview.
Well, one, it's against the law. And two,
we don't
it
ever
is sick
do
as
that.
Fuck.
We
you
don't
do that to a child.
I don't ever. I look at you. I've been through some shit, but for people to interview, SPM, no. He's a chomo. And you want to bring him for clout, dude? That's going to ruin your image.
That day when I was going to work and you
because people were
going to
tell
that,
him, oh, you're a fucking chomo lover.
Yeah.
And that's why, Flyboy, if I were you, don't even interview him. Yeah. Don't even interview him, man. I know, like, I'm just look out for people. You know, people can have their opinion. But if you do, shit hits the fan. I'm going to be like, I always tell everyone, I told you so.
Yeah.
I told you so.
I told you.
You want to learn the hard way. People don't fucking listen. But you got to be careful with that.
And this isn't coming from like a place of bad. It's more of coming from a place of looking out for you because that's the thing.
Why is it when we look out for people, people get emotional? People get mad. Yeah. Why are you just being a hater? Homie.
Yeah.
I'm like that with anyone.
There's a difference of being a hater and then there's a difference of, this motherfucker is illegal and he has paperwork and it's going to look bad on your business.
Yeah.
So that's where we come from. We're business-minded people.
You got to move different.
Yeah, you got to move different. You got
to talk
think
to people
different. And we're about respect and integrity. So
look everyone. We're almost at the end. I do my homework.
Yeah.
I want to get the scoop. I'm going to get the 411. I'm going to know before I know you. I'm going to know everything. And that's what I've been doing, just staying home and just looking at people's social media page. What do you think when people get so butthurt and say, how come you're not following my page? How come you're only following? Like, dude, I had to clean it up. I was following 7,500 people. Why am I following you? Why are you making a difference? I don't see you doing shit.
Yeah.
So I'm best luck to you.
Yeah.
I only follow people that are changing my lives.
Yeah, because as you scroll, those flashes, those images, those thoughts, those things are in your brain. So it's like, why are you going to have something come into your brain that's not positive?
Yeah.
That's not motivating. That's
I
not,
don't need all that
you know,
stuff.
Yeah, no.
I don't need that. And that's the thing. It's like, I always look out for people. Hey, if I give you pointers and you say you're a hater, say, okay, best of luck to you. I mean, I give you help, whatever. I'm not trying to be like, oh, you're just because you're jealous. And it's not about that. It's because I have experience. I know. Mm-hmm. And this is a thing when people say, yo, you got to be careful with Mega Man. He knows everything. I know everything. I know people. And I don't. I know. And I don't brag about it. Mm-hmm. But we know when shit hits the fans, like people come to me. But hey, man, it is what it is. Like I said, I'm just living my life. Just do my podcast. Just staying home and all. And a lot of people are like, you do guest appearances. Look it. I'll be honest, anyone, podcasters, I don't go back and forth all this shit. If you're going to have me on. But I will tell you this, I'm just warning all you podcasters, if you want to have me on, don't get mad if your page is shut down. Don't get mad if you have malfunctions. Don't get mad if, like, why'd you bring him? And like, no, people are scared. Mm-hmm. People are scared to have me on. Like, I remember, like, I think people like, hey, how come... Like, this is it goes around. Like, I was talking to Slick Vic, we did a podcast, and he said, like, hey man, like, how come people always talk about you should go on the, you know, on the Blackout podcast with ODM? Says, I told him, like, he ain't ready for me because I'll have his page taken down. If you're on Rumble, I'll go on Rumble. And but it's the way how I speak. I'm not gonna have anyone say, you can't say this, you can't say that. Then why have me on? You're just having me off just for fucking clout, or you want drama? I'm not like that. I'm here to fucking help people, change people's lives, open your mind on what's out there in the world, because this is the thing. It's really sad that a lot of people don't know these types of stuff that I talk about, and they think I'm fucking weird. But hey, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It is what it is, but I'm just being me, and I'm doing me. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you have any last stuff you want to talk about before we end it? Because, man, we could go on and on, but I feel like, is this something where...
I mean, I would just like to say, I'm not looking to disrespect people, but I'm not looking to also have people disrespect me. You know, I'm a very tolerant person. I am a woman of God. I do try to have kindness and shed positive things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad and my mother never raised me to be someone who just gets stepped on and is disrespected. So if I ever talk shit about someone, best believe that it was because they started it first.
Yeah.
And that they had a negative disposition. So I'm only going to speak on people that have offended me and crossed the line, not once, but maybe two or three times. And at that point, they could go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Then, and for me, I just, again, I'm just laying low, just living my life, you know. When people talk shit to me, it's like, oh, man, you're right out of stuff to talk about. That's just how I see it as, you know. But I'm just doing me. You know, I want to get this year done. You know, Thanksgiving's around the corner.
I can't wait to cook, guys.
Yeah, I think Christmas and all. But I'm just ready for, because a lot of people that I'm bringing on have said, like, well, right after Thanksgiving, I'm going to bring certain people, like, good people, where it's like, wow. Like, I'm getting the videos, getting everything, because I think my main goal is to really get out there and start having my booth and telling people my story and changing people's lives.
Pamphlets made and stickers made and buttons made and
t-shirts. And I tell you this, when people, when you're going to do a podcast, what is your podcast going to be? Like, and that's the thing, when you start learning about yourself, and to me, I learned, I don't care about views, clouts, or numbers, or money. Like, when I'm not here on Nurse Cindy, I want to make a difference in people's lives when they hear my podcast. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to know, like, this is what my dad did. Mm-hmm. When my daughter Luna, which one day I will see her, I don't want my daughter to feel like, Mom, how come you didn't tell me about my dad? Mm-hmm. Why did you keep it from me? Because I would do an episode, and or even with my son Emiliano. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in a minute. But there's these things where when you start noticing how people move, and you noticing that the same people that you thought you were in love or you thought you respected, and they're just the same old people. Sometimes you just have to part ways and be like, I can't entertain or I can't talk to you how I want, because people just don't grow up, you know. And I feel like it's sad to see that the people that we know, they are in their 50s or 60s or 40s and 30s, and we're all adults, and you're being childish babies on the fucking social media platforms, like a bunch of fucking levas. And look, when I say shit on my platform, I say it, but I don't care about, like, oh, here's another video. Yeah, I'm speaking my mind, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
I'm going to say my shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, because look it, do unto others as people do unto you. Mm-hmm. You poke the bear, just like that video with the fucking dogs. Yeah. All y'all podcasters talking all that shit, and there's one who was like, ah, he won't do shit, and that dog bit the other dog.
Mind like, buzz.
Yeah.
Norbit.
Starts fucking crying. But that's just how it is.
Hey, I saw you punch that game over at over there at Bobby D's bar. What was that called?
The Hideout.
The Hideout. When you punched that thing and it said how many pounds it hit. Nah. Okay, so in my head, I'm thinking, okay, that was like just a video game, but imagine.
Yeah.
I just,
you know, to be honest, man, who cares about all that stuff? Yeah. Like, slowly, it just. And with Commitment Soldier, when we saw him, he says, like, I just want to let you know, Mega Man and Cindy, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. Like, you came a long way.
Yeah, he's seen your growth.
When Commitment Soldier gave me that pep talk, it's like, I can't believe we knew each other for years.
Yeah.
And you're still here, and I'm just seeing you grow.
I
love it. And just, we always support. We're always going to be, but we're not going to be where.
His energy is always good. His wife's energy, Jennifer, is always good. His kids, they're cool.
Wilmington.
Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, I love hanging out with them, and you feel the genuine love, and
it's
that's
love,
the way
man.
It should be. You know,
that's just how it is.
That's how I move, and it's nice when like attracts like. You know, it's the energy's there, and that's how I like to move.
And that's why you have to know that the people that are going to be in your circle that you. They're gonna help you as you help them.
Absolutely.
When you have to pick up people, they're people, and strangers are gonna pick me up.
Absolutely.
Like people, all the donations.
We just want to say thank you to all the donations.
Thank you.
I have to say, my brother Frank, Lorena, thank you. You guys came through for Steven. You barely met him on Friday.
Dude, I was shocked with my dad. My dad helped me out. Like
your dad,
your mom, everyone.
Cambodian cowboy.
I mean, a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, people.
Leslie at work, we love you. I mean, you made me cry, girl, the other night. You're like, give this to Steven. And I just, you know, people that I wasn't expecting things from that. You know, maybe it was a phone call of encouragement. Maybe it was just a quick DM or a text. Or maybe it was, you know, the money. It came at a moment where we needed it and Steven needed it to get everything out of impound, and you know, he's going to need it for his deductible and, you know, to hopefully get his car up and running. And we just appreciate it so much. So God bless you guys. And thank you for blessing him.
And I just want to say to everyone, thank you as well. I really, really appreciate it, man. Man, it's, sometimes I just get emotional talking about it. But, you know, I'm just going to, like I said, I'm just going to lay it in God's hands.
Amen.
That's all I can say. But everyone, I hope you enjoy this episode of the Mega Man's Life. Any shout outs?
Shout out to Maggie. I love you so much, mija. Thank you for understanding about Thanksgiving and with the car being stolen and of us having to go grocery shopping at all of our grocery stores, the Trader Joe's, Costco, Albertsons, all the stores that we hit up yesterday, mija. Yeah. I love you from the bottom of my heart, baby girl.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to my boys, Gavin and Alex. You know, Alex, still, it's a progress. It's hard. But, you know, I still love my kids. You know, Luna, I love you. Emiliano, I love you. To all the podcast listeners, to all the people who donated, to the people who followed the Long Beach Social Experiment, and also the people all over the world, man, thank you so much. And I just, there's so many people that I changed their lives. And that's all I can do is just push forward and just be honest and just be who I am and just don't ever change. But that's where you're gonna gravitate towards a lot of people, because you know, those types of people, you guys keep me going, you ladies keep me going, you podcast listeners keep me going, all my friends, even everyone, you guys keep me going to do what I'd love to do. And I know I took a setback, but I'm gonna come back more stronger in 2024. And good things to come. And once again, thank you, Cali Girl East, for coming on the show. And to all the podcast listeners, shouts to you. And to everyone, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Bye, guys.
Mega Man's out. Yeet, yeet.